This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
My name is Meriwether Stewart from KBPS, and I'm going to read a poem about an experience I had at an art museum over the weekend. A shadow isn't always made of darkness. Sometimes it is simply an absence, or it could be an existence. A column of light, an approximation of your shape, so different, yet so similar. You run in circles chasing it, jumping in a bed of light and water. Yellow light shines from your footsteps, your shadow of light projected onto the wall. An approximation of your shape, blue and yellow and white and red, a whole rainbow of color and feeling. You can't help but want to kiss it, to feel the warmth of the light surround your being, but it's not real. It is simply a projection of the wall and a room, which many people are in, jumping and playing, because that's all the room is for, nothing more. The room was never invented for poetic awakenings, never for the strange obsession you develop for your light-made shadow. You think these thoughts anyways. You do not care what the room was made for. Your representation on the wall jumps when you jump. It changes when you spin. It follows as you chase it. It is familiar, warm, inviting, temporary, like your reflection on the water in a lake. And you are Narcissus, feeling such a strong love for your reflection that you cannot bear to look away. You want to kiss it, to love it, to make it real, but it turns into ripples whenever you touch it. And unlike Narcissus, you eventually turn away. You break the curse and leave the room with all its lights and colorful shadows and continue your trip through the art gallery. But still, it lingers in your mind. A love you can never fully understand, never make real. A love for something so familiar but so different. And you wonder what it means, if it means anything at all. I am Meriwether Stewart, and this is The Student Hour.
Yeah, hi, I'm Marley Austin, a Benson senior. I am currently a computer science major, and I have about, I'd say, a year a bit more with experience of using Unity. I've made about, one actually finished game and a couple of very unfinished projects. So I'm an amateur Unity user at best, but I still have experience with using it.
All right, Marley, since you're a computer science student, can you explain to people who might not know what exactly a game engine is?
So a game engine is essentially the tools you'd use for making a game. For example, our topic today, Unity, writes a really old game engine. I believe that all the way back to maybe like 2002, I'm probably wrong about that, but it's still very old. Unity is a game engine. It's essentially just like tools to make the process of making games much easier. For example, in Unity, you can there's multiple properties, already pre-made properties that you can use to make games. For example, physics. Physics is just a hell to code in the first place. Mostly a game engine is simply a predetermined playground, I would say, of multiple things you could use to create stuff. It's the building blocks of any video game, I would say.
How has your experience with using Unity been? Like, has it been really easy? Has it been super hard?
Unity is a pretty well-made, beginner game engine. Unity has been actually my first, like, real experience with a game engine. And I have to say that although there have been parts where I've, like, had very frustrating moments, like, really, that's how it works? I would say that Unity's a pretty good way to get introduced into making games. I would say also that my overall experience with Unity has been a positive one. The first game I made, it was... it's a pretty bad, pretty, like, not really great quality. It's a 2D platformer. But, again, I would say that Unity was pretty forgiving, pretty easy to really get into, really to, like, start making stuff. And overall, I think Unity is a good engine.
All right. What do you think, or... what do you think of the changes that Unity has made to its monetization, including the charging developers for each install that they get of their game?
I think it's incredibly stupid. First of all, I would like to know how would they keep track of this without breaking, like, privacy laws, right? Like, in order to, like, figure out the exact, like, how many times you reinstall it and reinstalls and, like... Because I've read a little bit about it, though I'm not totally educated on the subject, but I believe that, like, when it comes, like, betas and new versions of the game, that's going to be charged. Like, if someone has uninstalled and reinstalled the game, that's going to be charged. Like, it was a minimum of, like, 20 cents. I find it incredibly stupid. Because, first of all, it's going to, that's going to be a giant, like, money sink of, like, for indie devs, right? And Unity prides itself on, you know, being a game engine that's welcome and liberating, and it's friendly, right? It's like, it's supposed to be the game engine for new devs and for people who just, like, want to make a game, right? And I get that just for, it's like, they're doing this just for games that are monetized, but, like, still. Like, you already pay a lot to be able to use, like, there's already rules with, like, you know, if you are monetizing your game with a Unity engine, you have to pay, like, a subscription, and you have to, like, pay for, Unity gets a cut of the profits, right? It's too much, basically.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I would say that... Unity has been a great overall experience, and I hope that they come to their senses and, you know, realize this is really stupid, like, incredibly stupid. I think that's all I have to say.
All right, cool.
This is the Student Hour, student voices for Portland. Powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
Hi everyone, this is Kimora Goldsby from KBPS, Benson Polytechnic High School. For today's segment, I will be talking about outdoor school. Oh my gosh, as most of you know, especially parents of sixth graders in Portland, Oregon, It's going to be time to send your beautiful, wonderful babies off to outdoor school for about a week almost. Yes, 6 days out to outdoor school. And I know that it'll probably be a relief to some parents. And of course, sad to just, you know, let them grow up and stuff like that. But I'm going to be talking about outdoor school as a student leader, and I am still on the verge of maybe becoming a student leader and maybe not. I love to try stuff, new things, and I would love to have this experience and have this on my resume. And I know I'm a senior this year, so I know colleges look out for extra curriculum that you've done outside of school and all that as well. So, and this is also extra credit. So this has me leaning more towards doing it, especially because it's something new. And I've always said when I attended to sixth grade outdoor school, I've always said that I wanted to be a student leader. So this might just end up happening. But I most definitely keep you guys updated on my my decision. If I do end up going, it would probably be the last week that outdoor school is. And if I go, I'm so excited. I do really want to try. But for those who don't know, because I know there's a few people that don't even know what outdoor school is. And I'll just say what I have on my brochure. What is outdoor school? Outdoor school was founded in 1966. Outdoor school provides sixth grade students the chance to learn about the natural environment of Oregon by spending 6 days at an overnight camp. Outdoor school occurs for 6 through 12 weeks every fall and spring. Now, oh, I'm going to pause right there. This is also my first time reading this too, so it's new to me as well, in a way. I forgot that they did outdoor school in the spring as well. Each site has an amazing staff working around the clock to support both the sixth graders and the student leaders. So the student leaders, it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be too much. Okay, that's good to know. All overnight outdoor school sites have cabins with heat and electricity, restrooms with hot showers, an on-site nurse, and dining hall with excellent food. And I am, when I was out of school, I went to Camp Howard. And now when I'm looking at I think they have new camps this year. But I went to Camp Howard and the food was so amazing. Shout out to Camp Howard. And then also on the brochure, it says what the field studies. The field studies are fun and easy outdoor science lessons taught by student leaders to sixth graders to complete with hands-on interactive activities. No experience necessary. So, like, again, this experience will be so good, and I already know it will. I can just feel it. Our staff will train you in your given topic and provide you with all the tools needed to lead fun and engaging activities. So we get how it's going. This brochure has how to sign up as well. If you do want to sign up, and you're listening, there is an email called outdoorschool@mesd.k12.or.us. And then they have an Instagram as well. So it's MESD Outdoor School. So check them out. Especially if you're in school, I believe it's from sophomores to, or maybe not soph. Yeah, sophomores to seniors, I believe. And I believe in above as well. But I am excited. I'm going to look into this more. It says what it is to, this is the last thing I'll say here. What is a student leader? Student leaders, high school students live in cabins at overnight outdoor school with sixth graders and teach fun, hands-on outdoor field studies. Field study activities relating to plants, animals, water, and soil. So all those that I just said, plants, water, animals, water, and soil, I remember that you have to get colored beads for those. So it's so exciting. Student leaders volunteer for a week, 5 to 6 days at one of our outdoor school sites, which are summer camps. We rent every spring and fall. As a student leader, you will lead games with sixth graders, participate in campfire activities, oh, my favorite, engaging with students at mealtimes, teach fun field study lessons, and be a part of making outdoor school a fun experience for your student group. Oh, my goodness, so fun and so exciting. If this sounds fun and interesting to whoever is listening, please check it out. Remember, they have an Instagram as well. And they also have a website. It's called the same thing, MESD, Outdoor School, all together. And then at the end, it's .org. Check out the website as well. Again, I'm Kimora Goldsby. Remember my name. Again, I will come back and let you know my decision if I did go or did not. You will be hearing from me soon. Again, I'm closing out. I am Kimora Goldsby from KBPS, and thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Josiah with KBPS 1450, here with
Zip Pollock.
And we are going to be asking him some questions for this interview. First question, what do you think your favorite album, song, or artist is?
Oh, man. I can't choose one specifically, but this morning I rediscovered the soundtrack to the movie The Book of Life. And The Book of Life is one of my favorite movies, and the soundtrack is amazing. It's a lot of light guitar and a bunch of covers of songs you probably would recognize.
Speaking of movies, what would you said that's one of your favorite movies. Mm-hmm. What would you say your favorite movie is?
I actually watched it last night with some friends. It's called Yellow Submarine. It was made in 1968, and it is about the Beatles, but it is very trippy and hypnotic and other stuff like that, and it's basically a piece of art more than it is a movie.
Do you have any concerts that might be coming up that you are interested in?
Tonight, I am actually going to the Pentatonix concert up in Vancouver with my dad.
That sounds very interesting. How do you think that that's all going to go?
I think it's going to go very well. I've been listening to Pentatonix for probably at least 10 years. They are a acapella band that covers a lot of songs. They're actually the most popular acapella band in the world, only second to Home Free, which focuses on country acapella covers.
What would you say your favorite radio station is?
That's an easy one. It's KBPS, dude.
Exactly. And that's why I asked that question. Another thing.
Yeah.
How long have you been working for KBPS, and what has been your favorite thing about it?
I have been working for KBPS since my sophomore year when I got the class. I wasn't actually in the major yet, but when I got the class as a sophomore, I just really liked it. I loved going into the on-air room and just playing the music I love and doing little talk breaks and stuff like that. Probably the thing that made me get really attached to it is the freedom it gives you to really express what you like. If you have any hobbies or any specific personal interests that you couldn't actually do any school assignments about, you can in this class.
Speaking of hobbies, what are yours?
I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a big fan of it. I've been playing for about 5 years. Other hobbies. I like video games. Video games are pretty cool. I haven't gotten any new video games in a while. I've just been trying to play the ones that I have over and over because I don't want to spend money. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I like sleeping.
It's a great activity. If you had to name what your favorite animal is, what would you say it would be?
Oh, God. The answer to this question changes for me all the time. I might have to say the bullet shrimp, that one shrimp that punches things really hard.
The pistol shrimp?
Yeah, pistol shrimp. Those are pretty cool. I've also really liked jellyfish. Can I say mushroom? Mushrooms aren't technically an animal, but they're not a plant either.
They are considered an animal slash plant.
Yeah. Fun fact about mushrooms, actually. When life was created, bacteria and fungus was created. The first ever plant was actually mushroom. And in prehistoric times, mushrooms actually used to grow as tall as trees. In case you can't tell, I like mushrooms.
Yeah. You have been to a few concerts, right?
Oh, yeah. Just a few.
What was your favorite concert to go to?
I went to the Fish show in Seattle last year. That was pretty cool. I grew up with Fish. I liked the lights and stuff. But probably if I had to say my favorite concert, it would probably be the 21 Pilots Icy Tour when they played in the Moda Center last year. I went with me, my dad, and my sister. And the coolest thing about it is their special effects was off the chart. It was my dad. He goes to even more concerts than I have, and he's been alive for 50 years. And it was one of the best special effects that he's seen at a live concert.
Now, I know that you grew up in Portland, so please name for us your favorite place to go to in Portland. It can be somewhere special. It can be somewhere around. What is special to you or your favorite?
Hard one. I like sushi places, conveyor belt sushi places, but I can't pick a specific one because I've kind of flip-flopped between them a lot. There's no way I'm picking school. Oh, actually, I know. It'd have to be the graveyard across my house. That is an area that I grew up in. That's where I learned to ride my bike. That's where I'm learning to drive. I go on late night walks there with you, actually. Mm. It's where me and my friends go and hang out when we don't want to be at my house. You know, it's just a really relaxing and nice area that's been part of my entire life.
Now, I know getting around to some of those places might be a little difficult, and I know that you take the bus, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say your favorite and worst, or like your best and worst moment on TriMet were?
I always enjoy getting on a bus, excluding school, and seeing somebody that I know. That's always fun. It's only happened to me, you know, a handful of times, but that's always very fun for me. My worst experience, it's Portland TriMet. It has to be the crazy people. I've had a dude come up to me and start asking me inappropriate questions and wouldn't go away. You know, I try to be nice to them and I try to help them out, but sometimes they go a little too far.
All right. Well, we're going to end the interview with, what is your favorite dessert?
Cheesecake, 100%. I love cheesecake. I originally started really liking it at a festival where they had a cheesecake booth called Dana's Cheesecake, but it closed down a few years ago. But anytime that I can get cheesecake, I will choose cheesecake.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on to 1450 KBPS for this interview.
Thank you
Reminder,
so much.
That is 1450kbps.am.
From the junior class of KBPS, and I'm here to tell you about biking and why you should bike and how it works in Portland. Biking can be a fun way to get around the city. Here in Portland, there are a lot of biking resources. This is a guide to some of those resources. Bike routes exist all around Portland. They are marked by white bicycles painted on the street. If you follow these paths, you will be able to navigate the city in a far safer manner. Some bike routes allow bikers to take the whole street, whereas others confine bikers to their own lane. There also exists a series of trails, such as the Springwater Trail, that are bike and pedestrian only. If you want to navigate the city on a bicycle, there are signs throughout the city that show you which way to go. The signs are green and have a picture of a bicycle on them. If you follow the bike route for a short distance, you will find one of these signs. If you don't know where a bike route is, Google Maps can be a very helpful tool to find these routes. Roads with bike lanes are marked with a solid green line, and roads where bikes are allowed to take the whole lane are marked with a dotted green line. Fun fact, the Tillicum Crossing Bridge, which is a bridge that no cars are allowed to go across, has a little counter to tell you how many bikes have gone across it. So if you walk or bike across the bridge, you can see how many people have biked across the bridge that day, and also how many people have biked across the bridge that year. If you don't have a bicycle but want to start bicycle riding, there are many places around the city where you can purchase a bike. No matter where you live in the city, you are likely near a bike shop, so I recommend using Google to find out what bike store is near to you. Alternatively, you can also rent bikes in many places around the city. During the summer in Portland is a great time to start bike riding, not only because of the warm weather, but also because of Pedalpalooza. Pedalpalooza lasts all summer, and it is basically a huge collection of different group bike rides you can participate in. In order to stay safe, if you are biking in the dark, it is very important that you have lights and don't wear dark clothing. Once again, my name is Connor from the junior class of KBPS, and I hope that you found this helpful and that you get out there and take a bike ride sometime.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS radio team. In the day, I'll be reviewing Tizo Touchdown's debut album, How Do You Sleep at Night? Tizo Touchdown hasn't really been making music for long, but at that time, he's really managed to evolve as an artist, explore new genres, and make some really interesting, unique music. I've been listening to Tizo for around 2 years now, and his music never disappoints. His new album definitely did not disappoint. His style is very unique, and in a way that kind of goes against the norms, and that's exactly how this album is. The album is 39 minutes and 37 seconds long, so it's pretty short, but Tizo Touchdown is able to fit some really good songs in that time. The best song on the album is easily Familiarity, and the worst song is Impossible. Familiarity is very fun and good sounding, and I feel it does a good job showing how talented he is as a musician. Now, the very end of it is kind of weird, but overall, it's still a pretty good song. Impossible isn't a bad song, but like compared to all of the other songs, it's probably the worst. It just feels simple, and like I don't really see myself really coming back to it. My favorite song, though, off the album has to be Sweet, featuring Isaiah Rusk. It's a very relaxed and overall just kind of nice sounding song. Like I definitely see myself kind of going back and replaying that song a few times. My favorite part about this album, though, is the production. The producers on the album did an excellent job, and they made the album feel so fun and sad at the same time. You know, the songs, they jump from like very upbeat to kind of sad and depressing, and it really is done perfectly. Overall, I'd give How Do You Sleep at Night by Tizo Touchdown an 8 out of 10. My only major complaint is that it's too short, but I mean, it is a debut album, so it does make sense that it be kind of short, and what is there is really, really good. This was Colby with the KBPS radio team. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me, and have a good day.
This is Austin on KBPS, and welcome to WWE News. On this episode, I will cover Gunther and his historic reign as Intercontinental Champion. As of Friday, September 8th, 2023, WWE Superstar Gunther has broken the all-time record as the longest-reigning Intercontinental Champion at 455 days, surpassing the previous record holder known as the Honky Tonk Man. Gunther's reign began on June 10th, 2022, defeating Ricochet for the title. In his first defense, he defeated Ricochet in a title rematch. Since then, he's also defeated the likes of Shinsuke Nakamura, Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, Braun Strowman, Madcap Moss, Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, Matt Riddle, Mustafa Ali, and Chad Gable. And he shows no signs of slowing down. You may ask, why is this important? That is because this record has been standing for 35 years. This is a big milestone in the modern era of the WWE. We haven't seen a record like this broken in a long time. And who knows when another one will be broken.
To experience one of the coolest audio recording studios in Portland over the summer, and I want to tell you about it. The studio is at a place called the Bodecker Foundation, which is in Northwest Portland. The Bodecker Foundation offers free creative classes in a state-of-the-art facility with top-notch equipment. They offer free classes for creative students on a wide variety of topics, including music production, voiceover, drawing, fashion, and more. I took a music production class this summer, and I had a lot of fun. I got to collaborate with about 10 other people to make 2 full songs from scratch in only a week. We made two songs completely from scratch. Most of the students there could play instruments, and they played live onto the track. I got to write and record a verse and put it on the track. I learned a lot about how music production works, and it was really cool to see and contribute to a whole song being made from scratch. I would absolutely recommend checking out the Bodecker Foundation to anyone who enjoys creative subjects and wants a free hands-on learning experience.
Hello, KBPS. This is Dane coming at you from the Marshall campus, and I'm here to talk to you about Benson's rebranding. For those unaware, last year the Benson mascot was changed to the Astros. But to realize the significance of this, we have to go back, way back, to the very beginning. Benson Polytechnic High School was established in 1917 as an all-boys trade school. Due to the occupations it taught and its occupancy, our mascot was decided to be named the Tech Men. This was then overturned in 1973 when Benson decided to become coeducational, meaning they decided to have mixed-sex classrooms. Because of this modification, the Benson mascot was changed for the very first time, being rebranded to the Texters, to fit the no longer all-male populace. The Texters stuck for half a century, and then 2022 happened. In May of 2022, student leadership proposed a second rebranding of our mascot. They wanted to modernize it, starting an online system where students and their families could suggest new mascot names. The community then, as a whole, voted on the names, with the top three in the running being engineers, technicians, and of course, Astros. As you all know, Astros went on to win, becoming our third, or debatably second, mascot. But I don't know about you, I have some questions. Luckily, we have the creator of the name, Benson's very own Sydney Bauman. Welcome to the show, Sydney.
Thanks, Dane. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Sydney, how did you think up the name Astros?
Well, when the whole mascot renaming was announced, me and some friends decided we should brainstorm some names for the mascot. We were writing down pages of names, and then I thought about my favorite Travis Scott album, Astroworld. So I wrote down Astros onto the list. After the list was done, we went through it to weed out the bad ideas and keep the good ones, like Benson Burners or Benson Bobcats. And when we got to Astros, I remember the weird astronaut costume they kept bringing out at the assemblies.
Why do you think the Astros won?
I think Astros won because it was just better than the competition. No one really wanted engineers. It was too clunky and odd. So it was really technicians versus Astros. A more concrete reason for it to do so much better would be my promotion. Me and my friends Ricky and Antrell promoted the Astros on social media. Together, we have over 700 followers, the majority of them being Benson students who can ask their family to vote.
In your opinion, what was wrong with Tech Men and Texters? Why do you think leadership last year found this such an important issue?
Tech Men wasn't all-inclusive. Benson isn't just all men. As for Texters, it just sounds so goofy. Like, what even is a Texters? As for leadership, they found the name to be stupid. These are modern times, and our name should reflect it. Astronauts represent innovation and creation. They are the future, and that's what Benson should stand for.
What does the name change mean for Benson going forward? What are the immediate and long-term ramifications for the decision?
It's the herald of a new era. Times are changing, and Benson will not be left behind. Techmen are a thing of the past. Astros are a thing of the future. It also means a change in cheers and branding, but that's always true of a new mascot. I remember when they announced that Astros won. It was such an amazing moment, not just for me, but also for my friends. Not everyone at Benson is a technician. Dane, you and I are in radio, and there are so many people in health doc as well. Benson is facing a major remodel on the level of Franklin and Cleveland. At this point, more than ever, we need to innovate, and the first step to innovation is branding. We just took one small step for Astros and one big step for Benson kind.
You seem to have a very strong idea of what needs to be done, Sydney. I think we need more people like you in leadership. But while haters of the change can easily blame leadership and lovers of change to easily praise it, the question must be asked. How much of a role did leadership actually play? And technically, they didn't do much. Because mascot rebranding is done at the district level, their hand couldn't stay in the cookie jar. So while they definitely got the ball rolling and could try to attempt to sway the decision, their say was most definitely not final. But more to the point, how does leadership even work?
You see, Dane, in leadership, there are different groups that set on different goals. For example, we have a group whose goal is to come up with fundraising ideas and creative ways to make the school more money. or handle School Spirit, Benson Bucks and Benson Buck events, assemblies, Spirit Weeks, and so on and so forth. These are just a handful of examples.
If I were to list everything, the Students' Hour may be renamed to the Student Hour.
How has leadership changed?
One of the most recent changes has to be our teacher. Recently, leadership became Ms. King's responsibility, but on a broader scope, the school wants leadership to step it up and puts more pressure on us to be comparable to other schools. For instance, Franklin, Grant, and Cleveland have more school spirit, more pride, have a theater where they put on plays, and a football team. Leadership will obviously be able to do a lot more when we enter the new building, like better prep rallies, a bigger cheer team, football, and so much more. But people are really eager to have them now, so they keep pressuring us.
What are the strengths of leadership?
We're really good at collaborating, forming ideas to help the school, and more. We're also pretty well-staffed due to incentives like getting college credit.
What are the weaknesses of leadership?
Well, it's pretty hard being the only junior in a class full of seniors. But for most people, I'd say the most negative thing is probably the power structure. It really makes people feel like their voices aren't heard, and people feel like they don't have to contribute work. Many people don't contribute at all to tasks and just sit on their phones. I think it's incredibly frustrating because I took this opportunity to help our school, and they're just wasting it. There's also this weird seniority thing where people will take over groups and de facto their ideas just because they've been in leadership for longer. It makes it awkward to speak up on your ideas because there's a generally toxic environment, and it's even hard to help them with their idea because they won't communicate what they're trying to do.
Where is the future of leadership headed?
In the future, I see leadership in Benson as a whole as easily shadowing the other high schools. This remodel is really our ticket into the big leagues. If we play our cards right, we can take them by the horns. We can be proud to be united by spirit and bonded by name.
Just hearing that makes me proud I chose Benson. Thank you for coming on to talk to me, Sydney.
Anytime.
And thanks to you, the listener. This is Dane on KBPS AM 1450, and you are listening to The Student Hour. People listening to the Student Hour. My name is James, and I'm here to talk to you about my great-grandma. Well, the thing is, she recently passed away, and she was quite a special person to me. She was like a mother to me, and she would always make my meals, make sure that I always had clothes to wear for school in the morning, and she'd always be getting me ready. And things were just sad while I basically saw her wasting away because of, well, lung cancer. But my great-grandma, her name was Christine Christian, well, Warren, when she married my great-grandpa, John. Well, my grandma, she was such an amazing person to me in my life. Well, not only for the reasons I mentioned, but also because, I grew up with her. And I remember her, she cared about me so much, she was willing to fight with my mom over who would, you know, take care of me. Because, well, living situations back then weren't really that well, and Grandma was the best place I could go to. And, well, while she was around, she was always trying her hardest to make sure that I'd grow up to be an upstanding young man, and that I would always be respectful to people. Yeah, like, some of the saddest yet fondest memories I have is whenever I would come home with not-so-good grades, she would always come downstairs to my room to talk to me about it, and always, you know, and always try to help get me right back, right on the right path. She was also the reason why I was really able to deal with the bullying in school. She did an amazing job when she was around. Her wishes is also the reason why I get to stay here and continue to go to school here in Portland and be, a student here at KBPS. One of the people who, I don't know if there's many people who I'd miss more than my grandma. And also, she also had an amazing past too. Like, she marched with Martin Luther King until his death. And funny story is, my grandpa almost got
like, he was in the army at the time, and he was almost sent there to the Million Man March, and that could have been a time where they would have met sooner than they did. Well, then, I wouldn't have been born then. But either way, my grandma is an amazing person, and thank you people for listening to the Student Hour. Coming up next week, I will tell you how my grandma helped in some of the most historic moments in America, well, in her time. Thank you people for listening.
Hi, I'm Josiah with KBPS 1450 on the Student Hour, and today I wanted to talk about an interesting area of history which shaped a lot of the world as we know it today, the Vikings and their culture. Truly, we only have one real record of Viking culture. We have other ones which are from the graves, but the current main one is the one from Ibn Fadlan, where he recorded a lot of how the Vikings acted and the general way their tribes worked. Specifically, this was the Rus Viking, the ones who lived in the Kievan Rus, some people he had never seen before, and he was really, really interested in them, because although they were extremely strong and their bodies were well made and well kempt, they were also disgusting, is what he wrote. He talked about how they were some of the most unkempt creatures. He called them God's most disgusting creatures, as a quote. But the interesting thing about their culture is that it shaped a lot of the world. It gave the Rus their name. It gave the town of Dublin. They discovered Iceland, Greenland, and America, most of which was on accident. And I just wanted to go over a few things from their culture which shaped a lot of the world as we know it. One thing is that they were extremely expansionist, so they were constantly looking for new lands, for new amounts of money, and the first real contact they had was with England when they went to Lindisfarne and they ravaged the churches, which we still have those Bibles from those churches all the way up in Norway, which is amazing, but it did show that they took slaves, because they took those monks, they made them into slaves, and they had them work. They had a large culture around boats. In fact, it was easier for Vikings to travel by boat than it was by land. They had ways of moving around via boat, whether it was through river or by sea, but overall they preferred to boat instead of walk. One example of them using these boats to get a really far distance, especially through rivers, was the first time they actually went to the Kievan Rus. They went from Finland and traveled through rivers down south until they hit the Byzantine Empire. And there they ended up, they tried to raid them at first, but they found that a big wall is really good at defending against the Vikings, so they weren't able to get very far, and they got just to the walls, and then they found out they couldn't really get in, but the Byzantines hired them as the Varangians, because they loved that they fought so well and so heroically. So those people became the Varangians, and then they would join the Byzantine armies as Varangians. And I'm not going to talk much more about this, but I just thought it was interesting that there was so much of a culture around them going by boat and using swords to get what they wanted. But really, this is me talking to get you interested in a new restaurant that opened up called Viking Soul Food. It's on 40. The address of it is 4255 Southeast Belmont. Again, that is 4255 Southeast Belmont, and I've looked at their menu. They're called Viking Soul Food, but I looked at their menu and I found, I don't know how much of it is actually Viking, but definitely a lot of the food on their menu is Swedish and Norwegian. And so if you're interested in those kinds of food, please go check it out. I have been Josiah on KBPS 1450.
listeners. This is Joseph Freelander from AM 1450 KPS. Today, I'll be talking to you about my summer and other various things about with a lot of work. I was working as a lifeguard for Mount Scott Community Center, which it was amazing. I loved my job. I'm actually going to be working over during the school year, so I might be there at East Portland or might be back at Mount Scott or I'll be at Matt Dishman, places like that. But it's a job that I think is really good for any high school student that's of age because they pay good for the time you're there. And the training is very helpful. You get to even provide back for the community, which it feels really great to give the chance for people in the community to have fun like we would. I was also scout camping. I don't know if I mentioned that to you listeners, but I am a life scout. That's what they call it now, life scout in BSA of America. And we had a summer camp, which was also a lot of fun. I enjoyed my time there. We threw tomahawks. We swam. Oh, I did, which was funny. I did a lifesaver merit badge while as a lifeguard. So that was pretty funny. Ooh, I also made a wallet. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, mostly my summer was just me working and doing some scout stuff. If you guys don't know about this game called Grounded, I'll tell you a little bit about that, since that was something also that was occupied my summer. Grounded is a game where you get shrunk down to like 1 or 2 inches. Think of it like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the video game. And that's the entire base of it, and I love it. There is so much you can do. You can battle so many different bugs. Like you can fight a bombardier beetle, which if you don't know, bombardier beetles are these bugs that in their, I think they call it, it's either a thorax, I think it's a thorax they call it, where they have two gas tubes, where if they release it, it makes like a miniature explosive. But nothing big, nothing serious, but it's like, it's a really cool bug. Or you can fight a stink bug, which actually lets like fumes out, or a wolf spiders. I hate wolf spiders. But it does feel good to be back here on KPBS because I love talking with you guys about this stuff. I love like sharing stories with you guys because it matters a lot to share stories, in my own personal opinion. I'm Native American, so we have a lot of stories. Some lost, but some still we talk about. And I think it's fun to share that with the people. And I know we're going a little off topic from the whole summer thing, but I think it's a good way to introduce myself to you guys so you know who you're talking to. Because I think that's one of the most important things about radio is talking to the people, sharing those stories or talking about what you think is important, what you think people should know about you. So that's what I want to also make this first episode. I probably should have mentioned that in the beginning is that I want for you guys to know me, to know what I like, know what I like to do, what my favorite passions are, so you can get a feel, to know that I'm not just some recording that they just slap on for people to listen to. I am a real person. I am someone that likes to talk, someone that likes to game, someone that likes to listen, and someone that really, really enjoys to be on air. And speaking of on air, if you tune in, from Monday to Friday from 7:30 to 8, me and CJ will actually be on air. So if you guys want to tune in and hear some stuff from us, we usually talk about like some day in music type stuff or in the news. What we're planning on now, you didn't hear this from me, talk about fun facts and stories we have. You guys might even get a surprise guest by Mr. Rose. And if you guys don't know who he is yet, you will soon. But yeah, that's just the bulk of what I want to say. I had a great summer. I had a great time working. I'm so glad to be with you, all of you guys, every single one of you, all you listeners, because you make this radio station roll. Again, my name is Sosos Freander for AM 1450 KPS. And thank you for listening to the Student Hour, KPS, PRP, and KVL.
Technoblade. whose real name was Alex. He began his career in the online world of gaming and content creation in the early 2010s. He initially gained recognition through his Minecraft videos, where he showcased his exceptional PvP, player skills, and strategic gameplay. His dedication to honoring his abilities with his charismatic on-screen presence quickly gained attraction in a loyal fanbase. Technoblade's rise to prominence was marked by his participation in various Minecraft Monday tournaments, where he consistently demonstrated his powers as one of the best players in the game. His determination to stay at the top of his game and his entertaining content continued to draw viewers and subscribers to his YouTube channel. As the years went by, Techno expanded beyond Minecraft, trying to find other games and collaborating with fellow YouTubers. He built a reputation not only for his gaming skills, but also for his witty commentary and comedic style. His fan base continued to grow, and he became a prominent figure in the gaming and content creation communities. Tragically, in 2022, Techno passed away, leaving behind a legacy of incredible gaming moments, countless entertaining videos, and dedication to his community of fans who admire his talent and personality. His impact on the gaming world and YouTube will always stay remembered, and his videos continue to inspire new generations of gamers to strive for excellence in their craft. As of now, in the current moment, his father, who remains unnamed but the fanbase calls TechnoDad, has taken over Techno's channel and hasn't posted anything besides things his son would have appreciated. Techno's dad has made a song for his son's one-year memorial remembrance, but as I looked into it, unfortunately, it's been taken down. Sometimes when I watch Techno's content just to remember his existence and see some creativity and just for a laugh, I always get a laugh out of him, as I said, but I stop after a while just to remember he's gone and unfortunately won't be able to be there to make new content. But something I know he would have said to us is, don't cry, crying's for nerds. Rest in peace, Technoblade. Fly high.
Not even close, baby! Technoblade never dies! Technoblade never dies! Never question me again, chat! I do not die! I do not die!
I'm thinking that I'm gonna need a miracle. Wasted again, I told my friends. I'm feeling like you're coming, cause I feel the sun. I keep waiting for you to call. I'm thinking that I'm gonna need a miracle. Wasted again, I told my friends. I'm feeling like you're coming, cause I feel the sun. I'm waiting for
to those who have been listening to the KBBS broadcast for a long time are probably aware of our beloved millipedes, Reginald and Mac, who have both been stationed in the science hallway on C floor at the Benson Marshall campus in a large and lush enclosure for a long while now. But sadly, I do have a bit of bad news regarding them. Mac, the giant American millipede, has passed on, I believe Friday of last week, the 9th of September, due to unknown circumstances. I know a lot of us have grown attached to the creatures, myself included. It's always been such a joy to see them walking around or just doing their own millipede thing. I know some of us have gotten to know them by just seeing them in our daily lives, like myself, or by listening to the segments on the radio done about them. And I thought it might be a nice way to send the little fellow off by reading some facts about millipedes. Secondly, a bit of a side note. I'd like to mention that I intended this episode to contain a section on mythologies around the millipede, but after much research, I straight up couldn't find any reputable sources, at least not on the internet, about millipedes and their mythologies. However, because I'm not going to let that research go to waste, I'm going to include what I did find a lot of interesting information on centipedes in mythology and folklore, which I bring up because they're often mixed up. So, rapid fire, slightly unconnected info, go. There was an Egyptian centipede god named Sepa, who is a god of fertility and protection of the dead, and is tied to Horus, often called the Centipede of Horus. Another very interesting story is that there is a Zuni myth that mostly centers around two brothers, but has their grandfather be a very large centipede, who the brothers flatter into helping them steal two very important objects from the rain gods, the thunderstone and the lightning shaft. The story is very interesting, but I am attempting to keep this segment short, so I sadly won't continue, but centipede, grandfather. Another myth is that of the Omikade, giant centipede, of Japan, which is a yokai, defined as a baseline type of supernatural entity that can be good or bad, with a penchant for eating humans, and that has a weakness to human saliva. Odd. But let's move back to our lovely millipedes and some interesting facts about them. Millipedes were the first animals to ever live on land. Fossil evidence suggests that millipedes were one of the earliest animals to breathe air and make the move from water to land. Moving on to our second fact of the day. A largely known fact about the name millipede is that it is wrong, as it means, in its rude Latin, 1,000 feet, despite all known species almost never having that many, often only hitting about 750 legs at its highest. However, in 2020, a team of researchers performing an environmental impact survey for a new mine in Western Australia discovered a record-breaking species of millipede, Eumeles persephone. Adults of the species have 330 body segments and around 1,306 legs. Because they live so deep underground, found more than 190 feet deep, they have also evolved to be without eyes and pigmentation.
Meaning that the already admittedly showy-offy comment of, well, actually, is wrong in itself.
Hey, so this is the end of my episode. I wanted to say thank you for listening, and I hope you all have a nice rest of your day. And I'm too torn up about Mac. But also, if you are, that's totally okay. Sometimes small things can hit a bit harder than you think they ought to. And I wish you luck in that. This has been Makai from KPBS AM 1450, heading out.
Hello, I'm Coy with KBPS, and with the NFL 2023 season finally starting, we're all pretty stoked, at least by my football fans and everyone like that. But personally, my favorite team, which if you didn't know, which most people who are listening to this don't know, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Our quarterback, Joe Burrow, just became the highest played player in NFL history, according to multiple records. He's being paid $275 million for a five-year contract with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the last highest paid player was, I think it was Patrick Mahomes. I'll have to double check really quick. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. I've been following Joe Burrow since he was at LSU. I went to a couple games in LSU with my dad and to watch him play when he was still going there. He was the number one pick for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020. During the COVID pandemic. I just think that it's really cool. You know what I mean? Like, he carried my team, I guess. That's just kind of like a personal preference, but he carried my team to a Super Bowl in the 2020 1-2 season. He got the Bengals to the Super Bowl against the Rams in 2022. He's done a lot of pretty neat things, in my opinion. Last year, he also almost got to the Super Bowl. Cried real tears when we got beat, but it's okay. Since now, 2023 season, hopefully they make a comeback. Right now, they are not doing great. They lost against the Bears in week one, the Browns. And then week two, they lost against the Ravens. Hopefully, like I said, they'll make a comeback. From the sounds of it, they're just kind of all over the place from what I've read and heard. And so hopefully they get back on track. And hopefully we win a new Super Bowl.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.